learn by the Word of God, right? So we're going to get into the Word of God for a few minutes, and it's powerful and it's anointed. I'm not, but He is. The Holy Spirit's anointed, and He anoints His people. So I pray, God, Your anointing on this Word. I pray, God, we put our hands on our belly, and don't make me call you down. Put our hands on our belly, and we call out to the Most High God to fill us. Fill us with Your presence, God. Fill us with everything that needs to happen, God, for us to have our destiny fulfilled in Jesus' name and to please You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we praise You. And remember, stick around if you need prayer for anything. God is a healer. God is a deliverer. God can set you free. So go to Genesis 1. I figured that's a good place to start. So if you need a title for this, which you rarely get, you got one today. Oh, it won't be hard to remember. Say evolution or de-evolution. Mine says the history of creation in verse 1. Y'all ready? Y'all find Genesis? Did you find that okay, Genesis 1? First book, first page in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. Say, it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Say, the evening and the morning were the first day. What's a day on our planet? What's a day? 24 hours. It's not thousands of years. It's not millenniums. It's 24 hours. He created that in... He spoke and it was. You agree? Yeah, amen. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. There's a whole lot there. You need to read it all. I'm not trying to take away from it or we'd be reading for a long time. But every time He finished a work, He said, "It is good." And then when He saw it all finished, He said, "It is good." Very good, right? Say, it is very good. Say, creation is very good. Now the serpent, who could that be? Woo! The serpent was more cunning. What do you think of when you think of cunning? I think of a fox. Something that's stealthy, that gets over man, can just fool you and trick you. Ever been stealthed by the enemy? He was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So see, that tells you right there, Lord made the serpent. The Lord created Satan. He wasn't Satan. He was the most anointed cherub, right? His name was Lucifer. And He said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the tree of the fruits of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it nor touch it, lest you die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you will go, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Kind of the blame game going on there, right? But God's custom evidently was coming down and walking with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day, just walking and talking and fellowshipping, right? God made everything and said it was good. And to me, if you take that a bit further, it means everything was perfect. Right? There was no curse. There was no flu type A, B, C, D, whatever's going on around our country. None of that existed. There was no death, no decay. Everything was good. There was no, and you notice when you've sinned, you notice you probably try to distance yourself from God because it's the same. Sin separates us from God, but God's always walking, looking for us and seeking us out because he wants things to be right. So I'm not telling you guys nothing you don't know, but you just got to consider what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve were supposed to live how long? Forever. Forever. They were never going to die. Think about that. The food, they just went through the garden and picked food off the trees. There was probably no weeds or briars. Now, God gave Adam a job. It didn't say work was bad. It said he gave him a job to tend the garden. But you won't have to deal with weeds. You won't have to deal with poisonous plants. And you won't have to deal with any of that because I have provided. That was God's perfect plan. And one thing happened to change all that. It was called sin. Say sin. Say sin's not a bad choice. I hate that word anymore. It's a bad choice anymore. No, it's not a bad choice. 99% of the time you go into it with your eyes wide open. You know it's against God's rules and will and plan. And that's called sin. I don't know. I think the word game, call it politically correct, but it's like changing words and making things sound softer or something, you know, and taking away the urgency of words. But it was they sinned. And when they sinned, they got the promise of what would happen if you ate off that tree, which was what? When you eat of this tree, you will surely die. It didn't say you drop dead when you put it in your mouth. It said you will surely die. You have birthed death. And from that moment on, they were dying. And I think it took 900 and I can't even remember. It was 900 and something years that Adam lived. Was it 30? Very good. Praise God. Oh, yeah, here's Adam. The curse, verse 16. He said to the woman, "I will multiply your sorrowing in conception. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be to your husband, and he will rule over you." Tell me about childbirth. I've been to several here at the church. I've been asked to come in and listen to the screaming and the crying and the hollering. Y'all are pretty good. They're pretty tough girls. But I tell you what, I don't guess there's no pain on earth that's worse than childbearing. Don't want to try it. But there's the promise. Evidently, childbearing wasn't going to be like that in the beginning. Because he said be fruitful and multiply, so it wasn't his plan to just have two people. So evidently childbearing was going to be painless. Just my opinion. I don't know. That's the way I take it. Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it will bring forth for you, and you will eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. How many of y'all plant gardens? Just curious. Or did y'all give up? Have you ever planted a garden? Me and Donna used to plant a big garden, way more than we needed. And we'd always do pretty good, and then we'd usually try to go to the beach or something for a couple of weeks in August or late July. And man, when you come back, you think, what has happened to my garden? You know the only solution to it when it gets that bad? A lawnmower. It's that bad. So they just, it's the curse. It's the curse. Weeds do well around here, don't they? Don't they? Aren't they blessed? I'm going to read you some scientific stuff just for a second. I know y'all probably know this, but think about it. Scores of distinguished scientists have carefully examined the most basic laws of nature to see if evolution is physically possible. Given enough time and opportunity, the conclusion of many is that evolution is simply not feasible. One major problem is the second law of thermodynamics. And I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, but I have, but I wouldn't get it exactly right. That's why I printed this out. The second law of thermodynamics, law of science, basic unchanging principle of nature. Say basic unchanging principle. A law of nature, right? Is that what it is? What's this? This is a law of gravity. I never have I dropped something and had it float away yet. Just hadn't happened. It's always going to happen that way, right? Thermodynamics is a law that God created, and man just found out about a few hundred years ago, but God knew about it when he spoke it all into existence. I'm going to weed through this. It's been proven like laws of motion, law of gravity. The thermodynamics, the study of heat, power, a branch of physics which studies the efficiency. I don't want to bore you with this, but it's pretty. Yeah. Efficiency of energy transfer and decaying buildings. And decay. And it says decaying buildings. Massive structures may appear to be capable of lasting almost forever, but they will not. The need for ongoing repairs stems in part from the second law of thermodynamics. Have you ever been to a house where people just let it go? They don't fix the roof when it leaks. They don't. Whatever. Did you ever see a house get better when it's set for 2 or 3 years? Why not? You would think it would evolve into something better, wouldn't you? Oh, now that's being silly. You're talking about physical things. No, it's not silly. That's truth. It's the reason everything ultimately falls apart and disintegrates over time. Material things are not eternal. Everything appears to change eventually, and chaos increases. Nothing stays as fresh as the day one buys it. Clothes fade, become threadbare, and ultimately return to dust. Everything ages and wears out. Even death is a manifestation of this law. The effect of the second law are all around, touching everything in the universe. Every year, vast sums are spent to counteract the relentless effects of this law. Maintenance, painting, medical bills, ultimately everything in nature is obedient to its unchanging laws. Now, talking about evolution like the school teaches, naturalistic evolution requires that physical laws and atoms organize themselves, listen, into increasingly complex and beneficial ordered arrangements. Thus, over eons of time, billions of things are supposed to have developed upward, becoming more orderly and more complex. However, the basic law of science reveals the exact opposite. In the long run, complex order, and goes on and on. So, the law of thermodynamics says that everything is running down. That's why they can't build a perpetual motion machine. Like, people are always wanting to build a machine that makes its own energy and runs on its own with no power. It is impossible. It's like Adam and Eve. Did you notice that Adam and Eve, from the time they died, did you notice that the lifespans of human beings got shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter? And after the flood, it really took a dip. And now they say 120 years, but I haven't known anybody in my life as 120 years old. So definitely sin has come in, and sin was the thing that broke that perfection, and it broke that fellowship. And it's what, and I would say to you that society is de-evolving. When they say things are getting better and better and better, there's more wars going on right now than there's ever been going on. There's more earthquakes going on right now than's ever been going on. There's more. How many young people were murdered in Louisville last year? 100? I don't know. It goes up and up and up and up. More people are doing drugs. More people are into pornography. More marriages are getting destroyed. You look at the family. Just look at what's happened. It is devolving. It's going backwards. Adam named all the animals, man. Adam and Eve were brilliant. They were probably a lot further along, if you want to say evolution-wise, they were further along than we are. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I believe it. If you look at society, it has deteriorated to, and our society was built on what? The Word of God. America was formed on the Word of God, and when you started pulling that out and you started pulling prayer out, and you started putting ungodly leaders in, something happened. We started devolving. And I'm not going to push that. I think I was saved. There was this crazy group that came out, and they were called Devol. We are not men. We are Devol. And it was about, and they were pitiful. And it was, what they were saying, de-evolutionized is what they were talking about. So I'm not going to talk any more about that, but I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this for a second. Does God evolve? No trick question here. Does God evolve? No. I want to read you some scripture. He does not evolve. And people have got the idea anymore that he does, that he gets his revelation. Well, maybe that isn't what I meant when I said the Ten Commandments. Maybe this isn't what I meant when I was teaching in Romans. Maybe I had a different plan and I just hadn't evolved enough to get it. No, God is the same. He's the same. Could mere man word say, I am created? He is a creator. I don't tell God what to do or how to change or how to think. I try to think like God thinks. I try to act like God acts, right? And even Jesus said, I don't do anything but what I see the Father doing, right? Or hear the Father saying, I don't do anything. So how much more us, just earth beings? Psalm 55:18. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from old. Selah. Think about that a minute. He abides forever. Psalm 102:25. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. but you are the same and your years have no end. Did you get that? Everything's going to grow old like an old garment. In other words, he was saying evolution's a bunch of junk. That ain't what he was saying, but that's the concept. Things are going to wear out. Malachi 3:5. I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans. For I am the Lord, and I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. James 1:16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Daniel 7:13, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming like the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. The Ancient of Days, praise the Lord. Then to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is a, how long? Everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the way, heaven never passes away. Heaven never gets old. It's glorious. It'll always be glorious. There is no sin there. That's why God will not allow anything to come into his kingdom that is not washed in the blood of Jesus. Because that will allow imperfection into the kingdom of heaven, right? John 12:32, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw, who said this? Jesus. If I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. Say forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Hebrews 1:6, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. All and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, for your years will not fail. 1 Peter 1:23, all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was made by Him, and nothing was made that was made without Him. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13. I had to read you some scripture here. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Say strange doctrines. God doesn't make strange doctrines. Who makes strange doctrines? Man makes strange doctrines, right? Religion makes strange doctrines, right? Religion takes the Word of God sometimes and twists it, makes it ineffective. Is that true? Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. If God is perfect, and he is, amen, can imperfect man and society change God's worldview of sin and change his perfect law and plan? Who needs to change their mind? It says in the last days, he said, people will have a form of godliness, but will deny the power. Young people, I'm not primarily speaking to you, but I am. Because way back in whenever we had biology in high school, I don't know what year it was, probably 68 or 69 or something, they taught us the theory of evolution. The theory. They used to say theory. I don't know if they say that anymore. And you know, people that are smart, people that are authority figures like teachers and professors, people tend to listen to them unless they are super grounded in the Word of God and they're unshakable. I'm unshakable mainly because I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. When you're your age, you care what people think. If they think you're stupid because you believe the Bible, you know, all those stories that we learned in the Old Testament, I guess I'm sure our Sunday school teaches them. In fact, I found some, and I thought this was so cool. I was looking around this morning. I don't know who I taught this, but it's these little cartoon guys talking about Abraham and Isaac. Who was that? Well, anyway, it was something they gave out in Sunday school class. So simple, Genesis 22:3. Abraham and Isaac left home. Wow, that takes a lot of theology. Abraham put Isaac on the altar. Shows him bound to the altar, getting ready to be sacrificed. Abraham took the knife to kill Isaac. Boy, that's really deep scripture, isn't it? But it's true, right? The angel of the Lord stopped him. Don't you know Isaac was glad? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My dad's went nuts. He trusted his daddy, didn't he? God provided a ram. That seems so simple, but if you think about that story, God told him to sacrifice his son, his only son, which he loved and loved and loved. Why? Because how long had he prayed for his son? He'd given up, right? But God gave him the promise when he'd given up. Y'all have given up on some stuff probably. I hope not. But you may have given up on some promises. But just at the right time, bam, there it is. Sometimes you got to get to the end of yourself before you let it happen. But you just got to go, okay, God, it's yours. I trust you. Go kill your boy. What? It don't say that. It don't say he had an argument with the father either. I don't know if it's all there, but he said, okay. He said, go do a sacrifice. Take your son, take a bundle of wood, don't take nobody else with you, don't want no witnesses. Go out there, tie your son to this altar. Well, I think he said first, his son said, where's the sacrifice, Dad? He goes, God will provide a sacrifice, son. And so, can you imagine how he felt when he had his knife raised up and was ready to plunge it into his son's heart? Can you imagine loving and trusting God so much? I believe he believed so much that God would raise him from the dead if he killed him. But he was going to trust God to the very end, right? And so right at the last minute, I think he did more than yell. I think angel grabbed his hand, bro. I don't know. They don't say that. But think about it. Think about Noah and the ark. How bizarre is that? You build an ark that's big as an aircraft carrier, and every animal on the earth gets on it that's never rained. You think about it. You read that story, and you go, this is crazy. But it's God, and it's truth. And if you believe the little things like that, well, they're big things. If you can believe that, you're going to be okay with faith and life. If you really believe it and cleave to it and stand on it, you're going to be okay. Because you know that there's nothing that your big old God cannot do. There is nothing too big, too powerful, too mighty, no disease that's too powerful, that's too mighty, that God cannot change it. And you got to know that God's good too. God is good. God is not the author of sickness. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of families breaking up. God's not the author of any of that. It's the enemy. We have an enemy, and his name is Satan, and he'll take as much from you as you will give. Most church marquees just kind of, I'm like, really? You ever read them church marquees? One of them, and I know I've told y'all this before, one of them says, what's missing? What's missing in church? It's chuh. You are. I'm like, really? Nobody gets this but Christians, I guess. There's some good ones, yeah. Well, is God perfect? Say it, God's perfect. No flaws, perfect. Perfect in love, perfect in deeds, perfect in purpose, never makes a mistake. Can imperfect man change God? Can political correctness change God? Does God go, oh, I wonder what they're saying on CNN today? You know what he says? Fake news. No. But I'm just saying, God is not fooled. God is not brought to compassion by sin. God wants to see all his children free. He does. Praise God, he wants to see that more than we do, right? But God is God. God is the same. God changes not. And you know, it's good to have a God like that. You know, if you go to work one morning and you got all the rules and regulations of your work and your boss calls you over and says, well, you know, I hate to tell you this, but you're fired. How come? Well, because you can't do this. But it's not in the rules. Oh, well, we changed them this morning, didn't tell you. God doesn't do that. He doesn't change. You never have to worry. Everything written in that Word of God is the same. It will never change. Never, never, never change. Say, God's Word never changes. Never. Never. And you know, when I first come to the Lord, I had some problems with, not problems. I grew up in church, and I knew all the Bible stories. And I had some problems with things. I'm like, well, yeah, I've given my life to Jesus and everything. But I have a hard time believing this or this. I just have a hard time wrapping my head around this. Somebody told me one time, just by faith, say to God, I'm going to believe you, God. I choose to believe you. I make a choice to believe everything in your word, whether it makes sense to me or not. And you know, it was like, bam! It's like, shoo. I never had, all my doubts disappeared. I never doubted anything in the Word of God again. So if the earth's 6,000 years old, praise God. Somebody believed that enough to build an ark down in Kentucky. They believed it enough to make a creation museum. And I say, where's the missing link? And I think some of them wrote the theory of evolution. Well, I tell you what. Mark 16 says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who believe not will be damned. So if you don't know Jesus and you're not washed in the blood, you need to come up to this altar and get things right with him, or get things right where you're at. But don't deny the power of God. Don't let the fleeting moments of youth determine the rest of your life. You can do a whole lot of stuff when you're young that'll trap you and follow you for a long time. God washes and forgives, but people not so much, right? But if you need healing, if you need financial blessing, whatever you need that God has for you, come up and get prayer for that in Jesus' name. I know He's a healer. I know He's a deliverer. I know He gives joy. I know He comes to the hopeless and gives hope, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hi, Missy. I wasn't getting on her. It was just maybe a couple, 3 months ago, Missy, you don't mind if I share this, she was horribly depressed. And she came to the Lord. But, you know, tell me what changed all that.
Praying and also my daughter and I starting to talk. And she's starting to open up more to me. And I get to see my precious little grandbaby. And so it's really...
But the point is... Your obedience and joy and worshiping the Lord happened before that happened, didn't it? You were praising the Lord right in the middle of your trial. It's easy to praise the Lord when it's all worked out, but to praise the Lord in the midst of your trial, now that takes, sacrifice of praise. It is a sacrifice to praise sometimes when you're feeling, right? So give Him that sacrifice of praise. Give Him the first fruits of your everyday. God, this is going to be a good year.
Yes, it is.
This is going to be an awesome year. This is going to be a year of revival.
Yes.
This is going to be a year even of an awakening in America. I believe, man, everything that can shake's being shaken right now, isn't it? Praise God. God's going to shake everything out of the tree. It needs to be shook out. Praise God. Praise God. And I was saying Mark 16, those who believe and are baptized will be saved. After that, it says, and those who believe will
cast out demons.
Oh, you yawned, didn't you? Just teasing. Perfect timing. Speak in new tongues. If they're given deadly poison, it won't harm them, right? If a viper gets them, even a cobra, it won't harm them. No, that just not. This young lady was in Africa, and I know she don't fabricate stories. She's very straight up. She was in Africa with a fire school mission trip. And they come into this village where this little girl just got bit by an Indian cobra, which gives you about not long. And, of course, everybody's weeping and crying, and everybody knows, family knows, this baby's dying. This is it. And the leader of the trip, which was anointed and powerful and mighty, and who was it? Ben Hoare, very anointed in the spirit. And guess what he does? He goes, Kristen, pray for that little girl. Me? I don't know how you felt, but she prayed. This little girl ran away and played, didn't she? She didn't die. She was healed. So there you go, your poison snake. I know a boy used to live in Portland, and he was real faith-filled, and he didn't even lock his doors. Which to me, that's out here where we live, you might get by with that, but Portland's probably not that good idea, but to where your faith is, I guess. But he went to this party to minister to people, to try to win people to the Lord, and they put 3 hits of LSD in his drink, and he was drinking Kool-Aid or something. I don't know what he was doing. He wasn't drinking alcohol. He drank it. And they're all sitting there going, well, he's going to start tripping in a minute. Nothing happened. And they're going, wow. So he got to lead 2 or 3 people to the Lord through that. Why didn't it happen to you? Because the Lord was watching out for me. And the last one there says, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Say, it don't matter if I tried it 40 times. It don't matter. Maybe 41. But God says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. And Dave Hogan shouldn't have no greater success rate than you do. No great man or woman of God should have a greater success rate than you do. The success is to him. So, praise the Lord. I apologize if I didn't do that justice, but you know, we've got to quit listening. We got to quit listening to the world, man. We got to quit listening to the voice of the enemy. Man, he's trying to choke the life out of the church. He's trying to get the church to conform to the world. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, but that's the church that's believing God. Now, we don't have it together, that's for darn sure, but you know what? Hopefully, we're going further today than we did yesterday. Praise God. I believe. Don't y'all believe? We believe. We believe Jesus. So if you, is anybody here, put some, kick the bottle. Put some music on. Oops. Living Water. Sorry. That was rude. Need prayer for anything. Come on up and let the Lord minister to you. Stand up. Get yourself and activated where you're ready to do something. Put one foot in front of another one. That's how you do it. I need something from the Lord.
But God, there's nobody to push me in the pool when the water's stirred.
Well, come on. It's stirred. What do you need?
Praise the Lord.